You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the world's most famous amphibian, my friend, Kermit the Frog!
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain. The only thing that's real, the needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting, trying to kill it all away, but I remember everything.
Cross her nose, not up it!
Sorry, sir. Doing my best.
Who made that man a gunner?
I did, sir. He's my cousin.
Who is he?
He's an asshole, sir.
I know that. What's his name?
That is his name, sir. Asshole. Major Asshole.
And his cousin?
He's an asshole, too, sir. Gunner's mate, first class, Philip Asshole.
How many assholes we got on this ship, anyhow?
Yo!
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
Keep firing, assholes!
Where's Lurch? He's in the freezer. Did you say cool off? No, I didn't say anything, actually.
It's a shame.
It was a bit earlier on that you missed when I distracted him with the cuddly monkey, and then I said playtime's over, and I hit him with the freezer.
You're off the fucking chain!
22 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah. Johnny don't like the teacher. Johnny don't like the school. One day Johnny gonna do something, show him he's nobody's fool. Oh, yeah.
Stay back! Pack it in, Frank, you silly bastard!
No, no! We don't want any more bloodshed!
Frank, this whole thing started because you lost somebody you loved. Don't expect me to believe you'd let it end the same way.
I'll tell you how this is gonna end!
There's not a street that you can walk. You've got to watch just who you're talking to. They're out to get you. Can't turn your back on a smiling face.
Smiling. Of you,
and this I've
listening to Nowhere in Mulberry.
Thanks, Foggy. Thanks a lot. Hey, everybody! It's me, the J-Strom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Welcome to the show! Hallelujah! We are here. Everything's good, as far as I can tell. Is that
we
right?
Hope.
Yeah, Steven, you weren't here for last night's show, but I'm going to introduce you to our audience, PCZ Steven in the hizzy.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I promised myself I wouldn't say hizzy, and I just did it. What the hell? I break promises so fast when we
can't
do the show
it.
Live. I just can't restrain myself. We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian.
Yes, I am here.
How you doing, Bill?
I'm all right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I really don't deserve it.
You know what's funny is last night, Bill, when we were doing the live show, I said I was nervous, and you said you were nervous. We weren't nervous compared to Foggy on the friggin' soundboard.
He's still nervous.
I know. Nothing is getting played at the right time. But that's okay. Take your time, Foggy. You'll get into the swing of it. Steven's there to slap you upside the head if you have to.
I'm back here in the studio with you.
Now, Steven, I'm glad you're here. I didn't have my wingman last night. It was kind of awkward. There was an empty chair to the left of me. Did you get to listen to the show?
No, I was having trouble with the Mozilla thing.
Yeah.
I tried to listen. It kept giving me the data server error DNS.
Oh, okay. I guess I should say this, that Talk Radio X, if you have any problem, just use Internet Explorer. I think sometimes Firefox has a problem. I don't know. Has Dan? Radio or- Dan, have you had a problem with that before?
Also, I think if you're using a Mac, you probably have to update Windows Media Player, because I think that's what they're using to stream.
Or you can stream it in iTunes, I believe.
That's
something
possible.
Like that.
I have no idea. I'm talking out of my ass.
Hey, we're learning as we go. That's what it's all about. Now, yesterday, Bill, you and I did a show with Andy of the Hollywood Saloon. Let's give a shout-out to him. He was on our maiden voyage, as it were, our very first ever live broadcast. I dare you to play a different drop, okay?
I'm going to anal probe you.
Okay, that's good. We had a live show, but unfortunately we had technical problems in the second half of the show. But we still did the show, and we put it all out.
Technical problems. The show dropped out. There was no second half.
Yeah, there was a second half, though, Bill, because we did it in post, man. And we put it on the MP3 file. It's out there on our forum. Go to nowhereinmulberry.com. Go to our forum. It's right there for you to listen to. The audio quality's not great, but that's okay because it's there. It's a historical document now. It's there to mark our first ever live show, and this is our second
ever. It's in Bill's historical library now.
Yeah. Is it
it's
in the
like
vault?
National treasure.
Yeah. Bill, is it in the vault?
Is it surrounded by Lucite?
Yes, I need to keep it away from Nicolas Cage.
Can you believe they made a sequel to that friggin' movie? What the hell is going on?
No, I don't. I didn't even understand why they made the first one.
You know, who was the chick in that? Because she was cute, but I swear I haven't seen her in anything.
I think Kruger? Diane Kruger or something?
Is it kind of sad if you're in a movie and you're not in another movie until the sequel? It's like, oh, didn't get any.
You know what? I think she does foreign films, like German and stuff like that.
Oh, I gotcha.
She was Helena Troy, I think, in Troy.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know why I know that.
Hey, that's good, though, that somebody knows it.
You know she did more than one film.
Now, I got to tell you...
Oh, and she's also dating Pacey from Dawson's Creek. I do
know
that.
Doing well for herself then, huh?
I'd date Pacey.
Yeah, I would too. He was... I mean, remember when he had the frosted tips that one season? That was so good.
Oh, and then whenever he renovated his own boat and watched Jonathan Lipnicki, that was terrific.
Oh, yeah. What did he name the boat?
True Love.
True Love. Yeah.
Failed
the test. Jesus. You knew the name of the boat. I knew too, Steven.
That's why I'm the PCZ.
The only reason I even remember that season is because that hot blonde that was in Club Dread was in it.
Oh, yeah. What was her name? Brittany Murphy?
Brittany Daniels.
Oh, man.
I know that, too.
And she was always so sweaty through the whole show.
Oh, yeah. It's like glistening
sweat. Is there a freaking water bottle guy coming up, like, in between takes?
He was, like, jerking
like
between scenes.
She had the half shirts and the Daisy Dukes on all the time.
Yeah.
This is big stuff.
I think that's the best she has looked. That was that was her peak.
She looked nice in Club Dread.
She looked good in Club Dread, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something about that short, choppy hair she had in that season of Dawson's Creek that was just hot.
Looks like a poltergeist.
The little pixie haircut.
Now, guys, I want to tell you something that last night, I don't know, it might have been my fault. I might have kicked a cord or something when we were doing the show. And, Bill, it comes down to the fact that we lost the feed was my fault.
Oh, really?
And
I thought somebody got angry and cut the cords.
Yeah. Well, I was at the station at Talk Radio X, which we do the show on, and Dan, Radio Dan, called me into his office. And as you guys know, VH1 is making a pilot of our reality show about making our show. So they were there with cameras, and it wasn't pretty. And I got to say, I did what Amber does on Big Brother. I did what Whipsnap does on Who Wants to Be a Superhero, and I broke down and cried like a baby. Let's check it out.
I want to talk to you about last night. I got a call from a news director. I got a call from two of my anchors, and they were all absolutely livid. But the integrity of this station, it's got to remain the most important thing when you're down here. We have a lot of respect for you, but you've got to have respect for the rest of these people. Kind of let them down last night. Don't start crying on me.
I got something in both my eyes.
You want a Kleenex? If it happens again, we're done.
Wow, pretty hard hitting. But
that was tough after only one night.
Yeah, I know.
Dan's a prick.
But you know what? I'm keeping my feet away from the cords. And for some reason, Dan's voice on his show is a lot different than it is there.
And so. Does he always have the music playing behind him?
That was an edited.
That was a VH1 edit.
Jason Hervey added that in post. It adds a lot.
Okay, I thought maybe he had like a little boombox behind him that he has his own score.
You want a Kleenex?
I mean, could that be any more condescending?
He's got a keyboard on his desk, and he just sits there and plays the music while he's talking.
Don't start crying on me.
Yeah, somebody's watched A League of Their Own too many times. There's no crying.
There's no crying in podcasting. Hey, we're not podcasting. We're radio, damn it. We're the weekly radio.
Yeah, you don't hear his name, Podcast Dan.
And we're Radio Mulberry. Should we change our name? I know last week we had fun with the Brown Coats things, but now we're...
The Big Graham Show.
But nowhere in Mulberry. How about Mulberry Radio? I was going to say Mulberry Daily, but I was like, I'm not doing this show every day. Are you kidding? Mulberry Weekly? I don't know.
I think I'd blow
Sounds
my
like a newspaper.
Like
it's time to say give a shout out to our chat room, Bill. We got a chat room going on, nimchat.com. NIMCHAT.com. And I lost the chat room. I closed it on accident. So, Bill, say hi to everyone for me.
Yeah, well, we got Don Chep, Glenn. I believe your wife is in there, Jason.
Hey, give her a shout out. Say hi to her.
She's checking up on you. And Cable or whatever. And me. And then there's, you know,
that is that Cable from the future in Marvel?
That mean bastard.
Yeah, Radio Dan knows we're just joshing him, right? Right?
Of course.
Right, Dan?
We love Radio Dan.
If it happens again, we're done.
Okay. I hope this isn't our last show, but... Oh, man, I'm kind of scared now, Steven. I don't know what to do.
Take a deep breath.
Inhale.
You screw me one more time, I'll squeeze your nuts till you're dead.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
Okay, now you just need to report him.
What a threat there.
In fact, I'm already on the way to the human resource department.
So what since we're doing a radio show now, should we do say we do it every Friday? Say we do a live show every Friday. We always have the chat room up. I get the phone situation worked out where we can take calls. What's the next step after that? A camera filming us with headsets on? Vidcast. I don't think anyone wants to see me munching on Skittles.
What's that called? Pal Talk, where you can put up a live feed?
Yeah, since we don't have a camera, just let me... whenever a clip is playing, I'm munching on Skittles and chewing them as quietly as possible. That's my fuel that gets me through the show.
So, that's also a gift.
Skittles, a rainbow of fruit flavor.
You miss Carol Foggy.
First
you know how camera shy he is.
Yeah. Poor Foggy.
Foggy wears a brown paper bag on his head like the...
I don't have the ability.
Yeah, we know you don't. What do you guys say we get into entertainment? All right, Bill, Steven, what movies have come out this week? Anything good?
War is supposed to come out.
War.
With I'm not going to see that
Jason
garbage.
Statham and Jet Li.
I'm actually embarrassed for Jet Li, this crap he does over here in America.
What are you talking about? What's wrong with the... Wait, what was the last movie he did? Hero? No. That was a foreign film in Brno. That movie with that rap guy? What was that? Ask somebody in the chat room, Bill.
What were those? All I know is
Cradle to the Grave.
The one, Cradle
to the Grave. Oh, yeah. That's the one with DMX, right?
Right. But what about Jason Statham? He's got a good thing going, right?
Well, Crank was fun, and, you know, he was good in the Guy Ritchie movies.
Would Jason Statham be a free runner? Can he do that stuff? You know, like the guy in District B-13?
And yeah, I don't know.
The dude
probably
in
not.
Casino Royale. You know that kind of like weird monkey stuff? You can run and you can bounce up walls? Well, I mean, for lack of a better term, I mean, what the hell? Why is that offensive?
That's funny.
I mean...
because you said it right. Free running.
I want a free run, man.
Can you
imagine
really
the workout?
How far can you run? As me, I can't run very...
I could do free falling.
Do you have to throw your crap at people if you're a free runner?
Yeah, you run by, grab backpacks off of people, look for pudding inside, and
but
try
that
to eat.
That part kicked ass in Casino Royale, the free running. And then Die Hard, the free runner.
From District B-13.
Do you realize you wouldn't have to free run if you just had a gun and shot the guy chasing you? It's like, I'm not free running, and bam! Then
it's like the scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark is the antithesis of free running.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Genius. Now, there is a movie that I'm really excited about, and I didn't think I would be until I saw the trailer, and that's The King of Kong. No, it's not a sequel to King Kong. It's the Donkey Kong movie. Have you guys heard about this?
Yes.
Donkey Kong documentary.
Yeah.
About a guy trying to break, I guess,
the world record.
The world record that was set in the 80s. And apparently, the guy who set it back then, you know, he doesn't want to lose that record. And he's a kind of a prick. And the funniest...
Yeah, you can even tell by the look of him.
The funniest... Just like, he's got this insane mullet, too. And the funniest thing I read about him... As it said, he has a mullet that could destroy worlds.
He does.
That's an insane mullet, man.
That is, and he has like that whole, you know, 5 o'clock shadow beard thing going, and he's, you know, he's dangerous.
But I mean, I've never wanted to see a documentary this bad in my life. Not any.
That's the prestige in your life. You've got the world record on Donkey Kong.
Because I mean, truthfully, Donkey Kong is a hard ass game to play. Playing it was when I was a kid. I never got past the first level as a kid.
I think
my brother could play it all day. Sorry,
I got to the level, the blue level that had the plugs you had to run over.
Yeah,
like
they go
two or three times,
or something like that.
Yeah, my brother would play really that thing all day long. He was real good. I thought my brother had a pretty decent.
Does
score.
He have a mullet?
No.
That could destroy worlds?
Did he have one at that time?
I don't think so.
Okay. That's why he couldn't beat it.
It didn't have the mullet that could beat Donkey Kong.
The mullet is like the Samson. You know, that's where you get your power from.
I think they need to hold that prick down and cut his hair off.
The power mullet.
The power mullet. Nice. Exactly.
Gives you perfect timing to jump over barrels.
But I gotta see this flick, man. You know what I'm saying? Because basically the guy is hard on his luck, right? I guess.
You mean down on his luck?
Yeah, hard on his luck too, right? Doesn't that work?
I guess.
You want a Kleenex?
No.
No.
But, Bill, why don't you talk real quick while I boot up the trailer here?
Well, I think it's a lot of people misunderstand that it's not a comedy. It's a documentary. You know, it's an underdog documentary where this guy has really done nothing in his life, and this is the one last chance he has that he can truly become something. So he, you know, sits in his garage with his Donkey Kong machine and just practices like crazy.
Like, if I've heard right, didn't he lose his job? And
yeah,
he had the game in his basement, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, and he has he just sits there.
There it is.
Well, the thing is that the guy, see,
it's not even about Donkey Kong anymore.
The guy's got an insane mullet. Man, this is like back to the days when we first started doing the show when I didn't prepare clips. Just bear with me, people, all right? I just decided at the last minute to watch the trailer. Let's check it out. I love you.
We all love you.
Ready? Go!
I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. I play video games.
It's the constant drive to be the best at something.
When you want your name written into history, you have to pay the price.
The fact of the matter is, Bill is the best classic arcade gamer of our era.
Thanks!
You the man, Bill. Record and dig dug.
I've probably seen Steve with tears though. In his eyes more than any other guy I know.
Oh, he's hey, just wait. Come up short in a lot of things in his
Billy
life.
Versus Steve is the site.
Nobody yeah, wants to do that all the time.
Kick his ass.
Well, Donkey Kong, without question, is the hardest game.
That's a tough machine. People think that the machine is possessed.
The
That's
average Donkey thing. Kong game doesn't last a minute. It's absolute brutality.
Player
yeah, he's held the record for 20 years of Donkey Kong.
He'd have to have a really good game.
You want to put a score up, you're competing against everybody in the world.
It's not even about Donkey Kong anymore.
He's a very devious person. He works things out to his ends very well.
Well, Billy Mitchell always has a plan.
We gotta get Billy Mitchell on the show, man.
Does he stand behind you when you're playing?
World Record Headquarters, can I help you?
He has wow. a Cro-Magnon forehead, man.
I gotta try losing sometime.
He looks like Kenny Loggins.
No matter what I say, it draws controversy. It's sort of like the abortion issue.
Oh my god.
Wow.
He kind of thinks high.
Well, that's a person sure of himself.
But, I mean, for the first time ever, I want to see a documentary in the theater really bad. And I'm going to see it. I'm going to find the time to see it before next week's show.
You know what's crazy about Donkey Kong is that you can't just keep playing and playing and playing. There's a point where your score or you go so far in the game that there's actually a kill screen where it ends the game.
Really?
Yeah. And that's I think there's only been 4 kill screens ever recorded on video. So you have to really kick major ass at this game to get the highest score before you get a kill screen.
Wow, what? Who's the dick who came up with that?
Well, I think the programmers just didn't have anywhere else to go. So it just repeats the same levels over and over again until it gets so hard that they just can't continue. It's kind of like Pac-Man. Remember Pac-Man?
Exhausted. Where it Pac-Man, hits like an you would infinity go so screen far. And then you can't go any further?
Yeah.
You know what? That's what I hate. I remember playing games back in the 80s going, you know, I really wish that there was an ending to games. You just keep going.
Yeah, I think that, like, the Nintendo really kind of started that. Yeah. Mario Brothers.
My favorite ending of all time, Punch-Out. Super Punch-Out with Mike Tyson. Awesome. You win the
Is
belt.
Is that whenever he grabs you and rapes you?
Oh, huh?
Oh.
No, he just rips your ear off.
I think my favorite ending was, what was that game for the TurboGrafx-16, Splatterhouse 3 or something?
Oh, wow. Yeah, the one with the Jason mask?
Yeah, that was
Don't
a good ending.
Don't start crying on me.
That was a really tough game, too.
It was scary, too.
Yeah, we played that.
Speaking of scary games, I'm playing Bioshock right now, which just came out for the PC and the Xbox 360. That thing freaks me out. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, man, that game is messed up.
Yeah, it's really, really crazy.
It's like, what is it? Like, you have some kind of weird... There's dudes with drills or something? I don't
even
know what
that is. Yeah, they're called the Big Daddies. They protect these little girls that carry a certain...
See, already you've disturbed
thing.
Me.
Yeah, and it's, like, set in, like, the... Like the 1940s,
you want a Kleenex?
But this like underground city is stuck in like the 1930s, and it's got all that creepy like music, and it's really crazy. I tried playing it for 10 minutes the other night. I had to stop. My nerves were shot.
Help me, Jesus!
Yeah, I actually cried that a few times.
Help me, Jesus! Let me get through this game. Oh wait, I'm channeling Whipsnap all of a sudden. What do you guys say we get into what's on our TiVos? Let's do it! All right, guys. This week on What's on Our TiVo, I've got a few shows that we don't normally watch. And one of them is that Gene Simmons Family Jewels. Gene Simmons Family Jewels.
You know, I'll watch that sometimes on, like, weekends. One like it'll be on like Saturdays a couple episodes in a row, and it's an enjoyable show.
Well, the reason I had to bring up this episode is because Carrot Top is in the episode, and I guess Gene Simmons is visiting Carrot Top's comedic prop workshop, he's got some Gene Simmons calls them back massagers, but there are they're basically dildos covered in epoxy, and he decides to pick one up, and here's what happens.
That's great.
Wow.
This thing, yeah, they work. They work. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Do this glue. Are you? Hold on a second.
This is like a back massage.
Hold on.
Right?
That's glued on there. Seriously, that's like the epoxy stuff. Don't get, or take, hurry up, get the thing off. That's glued.
Wow.
Are you, did you really stick that on there?
Yeah.
Oh, good lordy. Okay, this is really fun now.
Stuck to his hand.
Yeah, vibrator glues your hand.
Wow, that's really
this
good.
Is really not funny now. Okay, that's actually hilarious. You got it stuck on. We have to get that off, though. Hold on a second.
Well, I've seen a lot, but this is pretty up there. I have seen some vibrators stuck to some things before, but never a hand, so.
It's a back massage.
Right, sorry.
Oh. Good lord.
Why didn't she elaborate? What other things?
Is that thing electric? Sounds like a jackhammer.
My favorite thing about the whole thing is the goofy piano.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who? I want to get a job. I'm not a musician, but I want to do music for reality shows.
You want to score reality television?
Because
shows.
It's all so overdone. I mean, composers these days, they probably mostly want to do film. They want to do big dramatic. They want to do movies or television or something. But they want to do, what am I trying to say, narrative. They
right.
need to do reality because that's where it's at. How'd you like to?
Danny Elfman doing something.
Yeah. How'd you like to do our show on VH1?
Dun, 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 dun.
No, you know what's? I think what people are kind of overlooking is how insanely creepy Carrot Top looks now. He's like all roided out, and he wears that dark eye makeup.
Yeah, what's
and
with
he,
his over
shaved eyebrows?
He kind of reminds me of when Joe Piscopo was like, "Hey, maybe a goofy looking bastard, but look how buff I am." Kind
of
thing.
Yeah, it's like what happened to Carrot Top from Chairman of the Board? Like, the poor guy.
What do you mean, what happened to him? He's the same dude.
He just roided up.
Box office poison.
He's just
look, nice.
He became this enormous bizarro. He looks like Bizarro Carrot Top. Somewhere there's a normal Carrot Top somewhere. No.
Not America's player.
Not America's player. All right, guys. The only reason I keep talking about The Last Comic Standing is because I can't believe how shitty the comedy is. And I want to know, is the crowd that's laughing, do they really think it's funny? Am I a hard ass? Am I a cynical bastard? Or is it not funny and they just feel like they need to laugh because they feel sorry for the guy?
I think whoever laughs the hardest on camera gets paid the most.
It must be that because this guy... Jerry D does a bit on wedding gifts.
Oh.
And wow.
Why is it every time you get a wedding gift?
Yeah. Let's check it out. It's great.
One couple gave us $45. How do you come up with that denomination? What are you sitting at home before the wedding? How much should we give? $40? That's not enough. $50? What are we made of money all of a sudden? How did they come up with that? Or did they give us $50 and on the way to the wedding go, oh, we got to get a car.
Wow.
Oh, thank you.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, you better think those people. Yeah.
I think he stole that bit from Dane Cook.
On the tryouts, there was a guy, Billy D. Washington, that I've actually seen live here in Mulberry. And he was really funny when I saw him, but I don't think he's made it this far, has he? He's already been kicked out.
I think anybody that was remotely
funny got booted. I think the English kid got kicked out last week.
Really?
Yeah, and he had to go up against that guy that just made that horrible joke.
Is the guy who did the, you talking to me? I hope he's gone.
Oh, God.
Help me, Jesus!
Why do these guys all of a sudden think that observational comedy is so funny?
I don't know. How did he get
into
the wedding?
Because it's the easiest
thing
to do.
It's like, it almost sounds
they
like...
They don't really have to think about anything.
If they were like, Steven, go on the stage, come up with a bit. When I got married, I got a card. They had $45 in it. And the crowd's like, ha, 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 ha. And you go, oh, man, dude, I'm on fire. Okay, let me just roll with it.
Yeah, this morning I woke up and my dog was crying. And I was like, how does a dog cry? Why are you crying? You're a dog. And it turned out he had to go to the bathroom. I couldn't believe it.
Jesus, Bill. Oh, my God. Mulberry Bill next season on Last Comic Standing.
I am so good. I'm there.
All right, the next show that we never watch is On the Lot. Well, we did watch the one episode where Michael Bay was on there because it was genius.
No, I watched the other director. What's his name? The
Gary Marshall. Brett Ratner.
Brett Ratner one.
Brett Ratner.
See, I only watched the one episode.
Fellini.
That had Francois Truffaut. with Ingmar Bergman before he died.
Yeah.
The guy that directed The Devil Wears Prada, which, you know, that's like top of the heap there.
I'm just waiting for the Terry Gilliam one. Your movies make sense. What's going on?
Yeah, what is it with Terry Gilliam? I don't know if you've ever seen Man of La Mancha. That's the last documentary you just pointed out that I wanted to see in the theater, but I didn't.
Did you ever see it?
I saw it on DVD.
Yeah, I bought it not long ago, and it was interesting.
You know what I learned from it is he tries to sabotage his own movies by being so difficult. Everything that he's ever said about his films, like Baron Munchausen and all that, he had studio interference. I believe he's a big pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, his movies appear like one gigantic pain in the ass.
Well, don't you think that he... What was that last film he did, Bill? The one that you said was all messed up with the little girl?
Oh, Tideland. God, that was horrible.
So he gets a film finally made, and then it's horrible.
Well, it's not even that it was... It just should have never been made. It was so wrong on so many levels. Like, I don't want to see a movie where there's a little 10-year-old girl who can't act her way out of a paper bag preparing heroin for her parents.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so disturbing.
There was also
so...
the Brothers Grimm he did.
Well, that was disturbing for its own reasons.
So we've got On the Lot where people are competing to be directors, and there was a winner, and I have no idea who it is, but I think it's this guy.
Ooh, ninja star to the head.
Yeah, you did it, man. You made it. And the craziest thing at the very end, no, I know it's not that guy, but but at the very end, the guy gets to meet Steven fucking Spielberg.
But that's only after they put him in a limo to go to Steven Spielberg's office.
Shouldn't they have done like Stan Lee where he's on a monitor?
That'd have been better, yeah. And then, all of a sudden, like, electric sparks from the wall outlet.
Hey!
I would have loved if
Steven Spielberg!
Steven Spielberg shows up and goes, Excelsior!
And it would have been better if he just...
Little E.T. appears right in front of the screen or
picture
something.
What he says to this guy, but they fill in. When he names all the films he did, it sounds like he just read it off a clipboard. Okay, that's his films. Okay, I'm going to memorize it. And I don't know. Is Steven Spielberg being genuine here? Let's check it out.
Listen, first of all, let me just tell you that, as you know, there were 12,000 submissions to On the Lot, which is a tremendous amount, and you achieved beyond all of that to get here and to do what you've done. It's just been amazing. I mean, your first feature film, when you get that already, you're going to think it's a cakewalk compared to what you've been through. You know, but I love the films you made. I saw, of course, all the films you made. I just want to tell you how much I liked Yes Men. I thought that was terrific. And then I really loved A Lucky Penny. I thought, you know, Glass Eye was audacious and kind of, you know, out of the box, crazy, but wonderful. You've got wonderful craft. You've got a great sense of comic timing. And I think you're just you're a real filmmaker. I had my eye on you very early in the competition.
Ooh,
you were great. And I just want to welcome you to our lot. And just wish you well. And
by the way, we
hate
HD
and,
DVD here.
Thank you very much. This is the key to your office.
Who do you work for? Who do you work for, Dougie?
Now, why exactly was he kissing his ass?
That was so incredible.
I don't know. That
funny.
Was that did sound like some ass kissing on.
Yeah, Spielberg. He really like played it up.
What an asshole.
How would you like Spielberg to hand your keys to an office?
All of that. It's just been amazing. I mean, I had my eye on you. You were great, and I just want to just wish you well, and let's...
Whoa!
Congratulations. You just made a handful of really horrible short films, and you won a reality contest.
Yeah. We will never hear from you again.
You'll get a little bit movie that...
Go direct.
Next, we'll go direct to DVD.
Your what? Next film is Mega Snake 2.
Oh, whoa. We got to talk about Mega Snake later. You know why? Game on! Friggin' feedback's in it for a couple of minutes. Yeah. So, Bill, let's go ahead and get into Big Brother. Part of me is dreading it because what's crazy about Big Brother is you go one week where you almost feel safe watching it, and then you go the next week where you almost feel like a nomination. You're nominated, and you don't want to watch.
Yeah, isn't it funny? The dynamic of that show is insane this year.
It is, and especially someone like Jen, who, from the beginning, I didn't dislike. It almost, I got to tell you, every season, whoever the majority of people hate in the house, that they judge, they preconceive notions about the person, I like them because they're the underdog going in. They seem like, you know, they'll screw them. I hate the people who immediately go to a herd. They flock together. And sometimes...
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Sometimes people just have a hard time getting to know you and stuff, but there's always...
You know, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Jeez.
Yeah, Jen, I would agree with you in a way, but she was just so incredibly socially awkward.
Yes.
It's like she could be talking to somebody about cancer, and then she would end it with a giggle.
She's
She has no way to communicate with anyone.
She's a child, really. I mean, what is she, 23 years old? But she is a child. The same with Danielle. Say what you want about Danielle, but, you know, her little wine sessions where she can't take it. Yeah. Anymore. She's very young. And in fact, she shouldn't even be in the house because she's 20 years old. Or I guess she's 21 now.
Yeah, she just turned 21.
But that shows you what that means, that you don't really mature that much when you turn 21.
Yeah, that's
20 to 21.
But you have Dick, Evil Richard, who...
you have Dick.
He's had problems with Jen the whole time. In fact, the one incident where he dumped tea on her head, I've always had a problem with that. Because he was getting involved with an argument between his daughter, who's 20 years old, and another girl who's 23. And he's in his 40s. He shouldn't be getting involved. That's like my daughter in kindergarten, me going, you know, you better watch when you say my daughter.
Well,
or
it may be one of those.
Dump a Coke on her head.
It's thing where you should just go in there and just say, hey, you guys separate. You know, you're. That's you,
he
you
gets way too involved.
Exactly.
And I know he's trying to, you know, mend his picket fences and all that. But at the same time, let me say this about Evil Dick. Because I've gone through times in the house where I thought, hey, you know, this guy, he's pretty cool how he's terrorizing Dustin and everything. But here's what I think about him. I think the dude's a total coward.
He is. He's an asshole.
He doesn't stand up. He got Mike out of the house. He didn't stand up to him like he did everyone else. He was like, dude, you're an idiot or whatever. Nick, He never stood up to him like that. He had times where he got mad at him. He would talk to him, but he wouldn't do where he browbeats you. He stands over you. He's hollering at you. He's yelling at you. He's got spit flying on you, and he just won't shut up. You know, a lot of people think he's great, and there's times where I have too, but I think that he – I really think that in previous seasons they wouldn't have allowed his behavior – but purely him being fantastic television for the show, they will let him get away with anything.
Well, you know, I think they're using this entire father-daughter estrangement to their benefit. It doesn't matter how horrible Dick is to other people.
There was only twice where he seemed like he was gone, and he stayed in. And the one time he stayed in where Dustin went, that was a miraculous thing there.
And well, we're not even getting into what happened on, I think, Tuesday night?
Right. When basically Jen is put on the block, and she's kind of pissed. I would be too. Danielle said, the reason I'm getting rid of you is because you're a great gamer. You're the best gamer here besides me. And I would have said, if that's true, why aren't we in alliance and kick everyone's ass in this game?
Yeah.
Instead, I'm going to get rid of you. Is. Because the real reason is because she doesn't like her. That's the best way to get rid of anyone on Big Brother. Even if you're in alliance with them, you say, I respect you greatly. This has nothing to do with anything personal. You're a kick-ass player. You just kick everyone's ass. I got to get rid of you. You're such a threat. Just like, whatever.
You don't like
So Jen kind of lost her freaking mind, am I right? She,
yeah.
And what timing is this? She did the cigarettes first? Where she took Dick's cigarettes and basically tore them all to pieces and poured bleach on them.
Nice. Yeah, she did that first.
And then Dick went and found her clothes and took them up to HOH and hit them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they went outside and she was sitting down eating an apple and hell ensued. Let's check it out.
I've been wanting to destroy Dick's cigarettes from day one. And all my stuff because I was planning on breaking every single one of Dick's cigarettes and then pouring bleach on them.
Jen, don't do it.
She already did.
She
it's
already
in her mouth.
She agreed that she would have slop for 30 days. And here she is eating. So it's like, oh, whatever.
Ew!
Don't touch me.
Smoke in my face.
Don't touch me. I promise.
You're burning me on purpose!
Hey,
buddy,
off.
You
get out of here. I don't care. Get your hand on my face. Get out of here, you crybaby little bitch. I'll play. Go home. Go home.
No.
Go home.
I have to wait till Thursday.
Psycho bitch. Go out. Go home. Crybaby. You're going home Thursday anyway. Go home.
Jesus.
That, you know, I saw that go down live, and they even cut the feed on Showtime. Which they never do. It cut to like a control room feed.
Yeah.
But I actually started to. I would have to pity Jen in a way, because she's really kind of clueless. But she actually started to cry there. It actually got to her, and I think Dick was enjoying it, and he just came off as a real prick.
You can only be browbeat so much.
Yeah.
By that guy, and you know you can't hit him or you're out of the game, but you take so much and eventually you just crack, and she cracked. And you, when you see the video of her shredding up the cigarettes, she has this look on her face like, I'm tearing up a cigarette.
Yeah, she looks insane.
She's like, And you know, she got a thrill at it. She loved it. But the thing is, why did Jamaica and Jessica and Eric, they're like, I can't believe she went off slop. That, the integrity of the game, you agree to go on slop. I mean, what was the big deal? They acted like she slighted them by doing it.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't understand that whole high and mighty, how where's the respect for the game BS. She knew she was going home. She had, what, like 15 more days on slop. She was going to go home on, Thursday. Let her eat. Screw them and their stupid penalty vote.
And you know what?
Slam it up your ass.
It was nice to see someone finally get a penalty vote.
Yeah, for the first time. And then, of course, Julie Chen's like, Jen, how does it feel for the first time in Big Brother history to earn a penalty vote? It's like, okay.
It's like,
yeah,
I
where's
didn't,
the Survivor music?
I didn't give a shit, Julie, because I'm hungry and I'm going home anyway. What does it
when
matter?
When is somebody going to go, Julie, I'm sorry, which eye should we be looking
what,
at?
That's a, one... What's so weird about this show, and people get so into it, is Dick can do what he does, and he's cool. I've even heard women are attracted to him. The most telling thing Dick said is, I've dated girls like her. Boom, right there. Why do you think that they get along the way they do? He's dated girls like her.
Well, you know what? You can read his blog and all that stuff on his MySpace page. And
I'm going to pull her out by her fake boobs and her fake hair and drown her in the pool.
And she is, or he is obviously a rather verbally and mentally abusive person. So, you know, I can't really defend him. I really liked him at first, but now he's starting to wear on me.
Well, the one thing Danielle also said about him, she goes, what he's doing to you guys down there, remember when she had that big rant, like, don't, you know, think it's me. Don't group me in with my dad. The way he's talking to you guys right now is the way I've been talked to at home.
Growing up, his whole growing up. Life.
You know what? I don't even buy that because she is almost exactly like her dad.
Right.
A lying,
well, I mean, that's where she learned
and
it.
Even a bitch.
She's not well, fat, Julie.
But you know what? No, I can't say that, Steven, because he's basically had nothing to do with his children for years. Her grandmother raised her.
But growing up to a certain extent, that's what she learned until he until he left her life.
Right.
So, I mean, that's all she had to go by.
Yeah, it makes me feel dirty watching that show sometimes, just for the personal exploitative tactics.
The part where she was trying to bat the cigarette, and he goes, you're going to get burned, you're going to get burned, and she gets burned on the hand. What part of humanity? I mean, Steven, if you were there, I mean, I know it's hard to put yourself in the Big Brother house there, but how hard it would have been to go, you guys chill out and just separate them. But everyone's just standing there like dumbasses watching.
Because everybody wants to see how far it will go.
Well, they also act,
and
they're also in fear. I don't want to piss Dick off.
Well, they're
they should have had security guards barge in and separate them right then and there. I don't care.
Well, that's what they're waiting. They're waiting for somebody to take a swing.
Cattle prod.
Then they'll come bursting in to kick somebody out.
They need those silver head dudes from THX 1138 with cattle prods come in. Now, okay, guys, enough with Big Brother Bill. Jen's gone. Jessica is head of household. Blah, 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 blah. Who's the next to go? Probably Zach. They got to turn on him, right? Zach and Jamaica will go up.
Well, no, you know what? I think Amber's going to go up because the America's Vote came down last night, and Eric's already proselytizing the horribleness of Amber. So
now, let me ask you guys this. And a lot of people... love Eric. America's player. What do you guys think? I think he's an asshole. Now let's go ahead and get into... No, you know what? Let's get into the Corys real quick, Steven. Because I know nobody else watches this show but you and I. But this week on the show, Bill, it's very important to know Corey Feldman's Rock Band was on the show.
Yes.
Did he sing any Michael Jackson songs?
The Truth Movement is the name of the band.
Sorry, go ahead, Bill.
I remember whenever they were on the Howard Stern show, whenever they battled the losers, Howard's horrible...
yeah, he's battled a lot of celebrity bands.
Yeah, like the Doug Flutie band and
Doug Flutie,
whatever Tina Yaller's band was.
Yeah.
Well, see, the thing is, on the show, Corey Haim's like, "Hey, I'm going to get his band together," just out of nowhere. Hey, that wasn't scripted, was it? So he has to go through this whole thing where he gets his band back together. The whole episode is how this gig is never going to happen. There's too many things going against them.
You know what, Jason? I think you're awful negative about these shows being scripted. I think that they... No, I you know, you're really ridiculous about this. I think it's...
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't think it's scripted.
Okay, I just, you know, want to set things straight here.
I just think they have an outline, a lot like Christopher Guest movies.
Oh, God.
It's just a little rough outline, and Eugene Levy shows up.
The Corey's a mighty win.
Gigantic bushy eyebrows, and they're off and running.
So basically, the weird thing is, Stephen and I were talking about this, Corey Feldman knows Michael Jackson's old promoter, right? And he said the guy never works anymore. The guy is so rich, he doesn't have to do anything for the rest of his life, but he comes a-calling whenever I call and does whatever I need him to do. And Stephen and I were like, sounds like somebody's got a little bit of blackmail on Jacko, and he gets he's at the beck and call whenever he needs it, right?
Yeah, I think this guy filmed some teabagging of Michael Jackson. Yeah,
Jesus Christ!
I think Corey was in that bed with Macaulay Culkin.
You screw me one more time, I'll squeeze your nuts till you're dead.
That is just wrong. You got just no.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what Michael Jackson is into. That and autoerotic asphyxiation, kind of like the guy from NXS.
Exactly. So,
or the guy that was from NXS.
They put together this concert and they start playing. And the funniest thing that Corey Feldman says is, "Do you want to rock?"
No, he didn't.
Effing rock.
Yeah. And he pulls out, and I shit you not, a friggin' harmonica.
Oh,
and he's like,
well, that's rocking.
And I was like, wow. And
awesome.
I was like, Steven, I'm trying not to be cynical, but does this band suck? Is it just the sound mix in the club they're in? What is it?
Bad acoustics.
And I said, you just hear a large sucking noise coming from the TV.
Turn it
Steven,
off!
Steven, turn it off! Oh, shit! The remote just flew in the TV!
We're getting sucked into the ether!
Yeah. But, I mean, what can you do, right? So that's a great show.
But he loves to make music.
He loves music.
I have yet to put this show on either of my TiVos or my cable DVR, and I try to go online and watch it, like download it off a BitTorrent site. Nobody posts it.
What is the best way to take away someone's dignity?
So make it a watch the two Corys.
Make a request!
BitTorrent is a world of requests and piracy. So millions of people use it, and yet no one's asking for this show.
Yeah, this is actually Corey Feldman's band.
You know, and Corey Haim is starting to look more and more like a tweaked out lesbian.
He finally got rid of that bad frosted tip hair. Like,
you know, but still, those raccoon eyes.
I'm kind of putting him up there with who's the nut job that I'm losing his
Pacey
name.
On Dawson's Creek.
No. Come on.
Hey. William Zabka.
Stop
William
it.
William Zabka.
No.
I'm trying to guess.
The one who painted.
Come on,
God
Steven.
Damn it.
Spit it out.
On Entourage.
On the back of
what's his name?
Oh, Gary Busey.
Gary Busey.
Yes. He is kind of like a young manic Gary.
He's a young manic Busey.
Gary Busey's a little slower. He's like kind of, lumbering zombie Gary Busey. Fast Dawn of the Dead Zack Snyder zombie Corey Haim.
Yes.
At least Gary Busey is somewhat eloquent. I mean, even though it makes no sense, he uses words
But that's what I'm saying. That's where Corey Haim is manic about it. He's not really... He doesn't really make a whole lot of sense about it.
Well, I think Jason's analogy works. Corey Haim is a Zack Snyder zombie.
Gary Busey's a Romero zombie. Right. Exactly.
And rubber belly all over him.
Exactly. Okay, that's enough on the friggin' Corys, all right? Who wants to be a superhero? Awesome. Dr. Dark.
If you're not watching, you need to
It's got to be one
watch.
Of the, what would you say, the most ill-conceived ideas I've ever seen on television. Now, Steven,
I'm surprised that Stan Lee signs off on this shit.
Dr. Dark. Now, what did he do this week? I mean, they had to call him that.
He was causing brownouts across L.A. Wait, isn't that normal?
He caused brownouts.
But he was going to cause eventually a whole blackout.
Yeah, you had to stop him before the big blackout, and God forbid the Stanley can't talk to him on his friggin' plasma screen. We need to get a generator here so I can talk to you.
At least this year isn't overlaid from a blue screen on a fake TV.
Yeah.
At least this year you can actually it's an actual TV.
So the best part about this, they had to crawl into a tube and
face their fears.
There were rats.
Well, whatever your fear was.
Right.
Rats.
So it's like 1984.
There were snakes, there were spiders. It was dark, it's claustrophobic.
How do they know their fears? I guess a questionnaire before they started the show?
Maybe so.
What if they lied?
Yeah.
What if, like, they're actually afraid of, like, maggots?
I'm afraid of Ewoks from Return of the Jedi.
I think everybody is. When you hear that nyub-nyub, it just instills fear in your heart.
Yeah, you crawl into the tunnel and you hear, yep, yep.
Yeah.
Oh my god, there's an Ewok in here. Where is he? He jumps on your back.
It's so creepy. Little Ewoks. An entire empire brought to its knees by small, furry creatures.
Yeah, thank you, Foggy. That's like the longest drop ever.
Yeah, that's it almost needs an explanation.
Yeah. That's from the TV show Space. Check it out. On an imported DVD.
Hello, Brian.
You have to get
Region-free.
Struggling.
DVD player. To play it?
Yeah, that was me trying to think of Gary Busey struggling.
No, I'm not struggling. Bill, have I ever told you this?
You achieved beyond all of that. It's just been amazing. I mean, I have my eye on you. You were great, and I just want to just wish you well, and let's...
Thank you. Wow. You know, I'm really honored. I'm blushing, and I have to go to the bathroom at the same time.
You want a Kleenex?
Yeah, huh? I need to wipe my butt.
Good Lord, man. Okay, who wants to be a superhero? My favorite superhero is Whipsnap. Because that bitch won't stop crying.
You know what's funny about it is you have the dynamic of Big Brother where Whamber won't stop crying and we hate her. Yet we have Whipsnap, the androgynous black woman who, or black thing, who just will not stop crying.
And she's a bitch.
She is terrific. She needs to win.
She is so passionate.
That should have been her name, Crybaby.
When she crawls, I'm very emotional, Stan.
She could have had a little curly Q come down on her forehead.
That would have been genius.
Musicals.
Because when she's crawling in the tube, she's like, oh, my Lord. And she's just...
What's your superpower? I start crying. It's called a flood of water.
I can't take this no more. My favorite week was last week when she cried in the hideout. But
she's cried every week in the hideout.
But how did you like Parthenon? Didn't you love Parthenon?
That's the best thing about just blatantly gay men is that scream.
Stop.
The one that cracked me up was, you know, it's like, I'm deathly afraid of snakes. No, he's not.
Let's not go there. So then they go to a restaurant, and this is my favorite part. They go to a restaurant, and first of all, Diffuser gives away part of his costume. And the time comes to pay the check. Now, again, Bill, is this scripted or is this really happening? They can't pay
really
the check.
Happening.
And they become bus boys.
You shouldn't even ask.
They become bus boys and they start cleaning up around El Chorritos, El Chico's. I don't know what the place is called.
El Chorritos?
Yeah, that's what I had at the top of my head. I got nothing. So, Stan Lee, the things that he comes up with to, you know, oh my God. This is what I can't take about the show. You know, I talked about how much I love the show. It had a lot of character, even though it was cheesy as hell. But the part where he's like, the way that you gave away a piece of your costume to that kid, superheroes don't do that. And let me not...
Wait a second. Didn't Spider-Man throw away his costume in a trash can?
Yeah. But not even...
He didn't give it away, but he just tossed it in the trash like
nothing.
Yeah,
he went back for it.
What about the part about where there's
not to the trash?
Dr. Dark is reading embarrassing things about your past, and Diffuser, he liked the drinky drinky.
No, that was a test thing for the police. They were saying,
right?
They were doing like
Diffuser. You destroyed a lavatory with your drunkenness.
But it was probably like at a police place where they were like showing what it was like testing. You know
what did Whipsnap say she did with someone's car keys?
You she lost confiscated all control of your bowels in the bathroom.
She said that she confiscated some of the keys.
That sounds a lot like stealing.
That's a fancy word for stealing.
And Stanley's like, I agree.
And then she just shut up. She wouldn't even finish defending herself.
First of all, this whole thing with Dr. Dark saying bad things about Stanley's superheroes, it reminds me of, like, Job and the devil and God, where he's like, hey, I don't believe this guy will still love you after I screw up his life and destroy his crops and all this stuff. I always thought, shouldn't God say, I don't give a shit what you say because you're the devil? Seriously? Shouldn't Stanley go, well, you're an evil villain. What do I give a crap about any of this stuff?
And
Think about it for a second.
I didn't quite understand the confiscating keys thing.
And she borrowed somebody's car.
Yeah, she borrowed a friend's car. She didn't. If she had stole it, she'd be like taking it off and selling it.
This is pretty up there.
Take it to a chop shop or something, you know.
Every time I start to enjoy the show, it irritates the hell out of me.
Illegal chop shop. So, who wants to be a superhero? I still think Parthenon's going to win. Ugh.
Oh, my God.
No, you know, Hyperstrike's going to win.
Hyperstrike will probably win.
I don't want the Diffuser to win. It's so lame. His outfit
and
everything.
What's so bad about Hyperstrike is just so generic.
Yeah.
You know,
he can do backflips, Bill.
But it's a nice generic name that he can get behind. Parthenon, are you going to try and sell that on a friggin' comic book?
No. Parthenon.
Come on, Hyperstrike. It's got a catchy name. It, really.
Is Parthenon's like headquarters a gay bathhouse?
Who knows?
Is Barry Manilow on the keyboard?
Playing some Yanni.
All right, let's get into Entourage real quick before we get into the news. Now, Entourage this week I thought had some really funny stuff, and a lot of it had to do with Ari and Lloyd. Because Ari's trying to put together this deal. Apparently, Billy, what's his name? Walsh. Instead of doing this In the Clouds movie, he made a science fiction thriller.
Well, he got paid $500,000 to write a script from this book.
I thought it was $5 million.
No, it's $500,000.
$500,000.
Oh, okay. Where did you spend the money on?
Renovations.
Home renovations. I put in a steam bath. It's like they live in this crappy house.
Can I just ask, where are these guys getting these women for this show? That brunette that was his girlfriend was gorgeous.
Right, yeah.
Are those like a dime a dozen in L.A.? I don't quite understand what's going on.
I know, and this...
they're a dime a dozen.
The episode was far-fetched, but I believe it could happen, couldn't it? Where you could make a deal with the studio, then turn around and actually sell them instead a sci-fi movie.
You know what, Jason? This show is so, like, inside that whole thing that I don't doubt this happened with something.
Yeah, you know, you've got a point. It's probably happened and it's kind of based on something that's actually happened like that.
I love this town!
But you know what would be great to find out what movie it happened to? Like, was it friggin' Demolition Man was supposed to be a remake of Spartacus originally or something?
That would be good.
I couldn't really adapt it, but I got Demolition Man, you know?
Then it was supposed to have a giant spider.
John Spartan, get it? Yeah, exactly. Mechanical spider.
Giant mechanical spider.
But, okay, what else is going on? There's the stuff with E and Anna Faris. Are you guys interested in any of that?
Absolutely not.
She had the annoying boyfriend.
The funny thing, I say funny, it wasn't even really all that funny, but the out-of-control boyfriend, you know, it's just
that
like...
That was so irritating to me.
Yeah. It's like, if you were a movie star and your girlfriend, I'm just saying this to us guys... No, you need to do this. She needs to do this. Be like, just go away. You're not part of this.
Right. And the thing that was funny was that when she said, stop talking like Randy Jackson, because the guy kept saying, dog. The guy was...
a poser.
He was a caricature. He wasn't even a real kind of person, you know, in the...
Yeah, but you know people like that exist. Look at Mike Boogie.
Yeah, you got a point there. Mike Boogie and his... What would you call it? Genital wart. His genital wart. Jesus. And hey, if you want to know more about that, check out last night's show on our forum.
Gang raped by a gaggle of silverback apes.
That'll get you genital warts, all right.
That might get you.
So now they're going to make this.
Warts.
What? What the hell, Steve? Steven.
Thanks, Steven.
We're on live. I can't edit that. Jesus.
Stop.
One.
Stop.
Stop.
Stop. Was that a foghorn?
That was a vibrator.
Stop.
That's Gene.
She's trying to take the vibrator out of his hand where it's glued, and she turns it on. He's like, stop.
Oh, God.
And I love the way he says, it's a back massager. So, anything more to say about Entourage before we take a small break and go to news? Well,
you thought that maybe Entourage would have progressed a little further in the season?
Do you guys think it's weird? I thought, like, a month ago they were going to already go to Con,
yeah.
But they haven't gone yet. But yeah. I don't mind that they haven't talked about Medellin in a while. I really don't.
Yeah, I'm tired of seeing the trailer for it.
And I love the part where Lloyd calls E and he can't get a hold of him on the phone. He's like, I'm not getting good reception. Can you talk louder? And he goes, Ari wanted me. And you see in the background, Ari goes, shut the fuck up, Lloyd. That was hilarious. I rewound that. I thought that was so funny.
I'm tired of the Medellin thing where Vincent Chase looks like Tony Clifton. It just looks so bad.
I was trying to picture who he looked like. That's good, Bill.
Totally Tony Clifton. I mean, just
that's a great thing.
Maybe it's actually Andy Kaufman playing that role.
And that's, I guess, in the universe that the show exists in, his makeup looks incredible, right? But yeah, on the show, we laugh at it.
Right.
It's kind of like when he was doing his acting, like, oh, he's knocking it out of the park. But I was like, he's kind of shitty, his accent and everything.
Yeah, it's definitely tongue-in-cheek.
So, what do we know, right?
Nothing.
We know absolutely nothing about Hollywood or any of that stuff.
We are idiots.
You know, we're coming up on September where a lot of new shows are going to be premiering. What do you say next week we kind of talk about some of the shows we're excited about?
I'm actually excited about that vampire show. What's that called?
Interview?
No.
What is it called?
Moonlight?
I think that's it. It's not Forever Night. What is it? Jesus. I'm excited about Pushing Daisies, the guy who created...
Yeah.
I wasn't
sure about that at first, but it looks good.
Dead Like Me. He created Dead Like Me. It looks really good. Everyone is saying the show's fantastic. How could it miss?
I can't wait to see Carpoolers canceled after a few episodes. We need to start taking a bet of which show gets canceled first.
Right.
We need to get a list of all the new
shows. It's got to be a Fox show. You can't go wrong with a Fox show going first.
A TV death pool.
Let's do it. Next week, that's what we're going to talk about. So everybody,
whoever wins,
cash your vote.
Laptop desk.
Laptop desk! No! We never got a laptop desk. Damn it. To hell. So what do you guys say? We take a little break, drain our bladders, and we will be right back with the news. So stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back.
Spider Pig, Spider Pig, does whatever a spider pig does. Can he swing from a web? No, he can't. He's a pig. Look out, he is a spider pig.
And we're back. Hey, everybody. How is it going? Bill, are you back from the lavatory?
Yes. Welcome.
Oh, that was great to take a break, wasn't it?
Yes. Get to stand and stretch and do my nuke.
Sweet, sweet. Jesus, was that a RoboCop 2 reference?
Yeah, thank you. That was a really weak one. You got to pick your time, Steven.
I'm sorry.
If it happens again, we're done.
Sorry. Now, if we were talking about Tom Noonan or, you know, Frank Miller, maybe, but not just a break. Sorry.
He will try hard.
That's when I use.
Oh.
Bob!
All right, Bill, you ready to do some news?
Sure.
Let's do the news!
Good lordy.
Help me, Jesus!
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
Well, I think Merv Griffin probably said, help me, Jesus, just before he died. But Jerry Lewis really doesn't care because he thinks Merv Griffin deserved to die.
Wow.
Yes. And I guess he deserved his eye because he didn't treat his prostate cancer, according to Jerry Lewis. Griffin, of course, the brains behind game shows like Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune, died earlier this month at the age of 82. Lewis reveals he was furious.
Oh, my God!
He was furious when his late pal passed away because he had the same disease, but he was cured after seeing doctors. Speaking on Entertainment Tonight, Lewis says, I was very angry when I heard that Merv died. He didn't have to die. He knew he had prostate cancer, and he did nothing about it. He deserved to die. You can't have cancer and say, I'll be all right. You're not going to be all right. It's a malady that has to be addressed.
Why does this bother him so much?
Yeah, I know. I went and had it addressed and got it out of there. I'm going to beat George Burns. George Burns died at 100. I'm going for 101. I want a television special for my 101st birthday. Okay.
He's just mad at his friend because he lost his friend. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
He's just angry.
He's still angry for the clown that didn't cry. That movie he made about the clown in a concentration camp that never got released. I want to see that movie.
It's not funny, Jason.
Oh, I didn't say it.
Funny.
I don't know.
I think it's funny. This one right out of my, right close to my hometown. I grew up outside of Ritchieville in Ritchieville, Pennsylvania, which is about, I would say, about 20 miles south of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
You already a princess. I want to make you a queen.
And wow. What? But a woman was accused of taking a 12-year-old boy to two houses of prostitution and paying for him to have sex there.
Jesus Christ, what the?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I wish I knew this lady when I was 12. Linda Van Poole, 36, of Denora, was charged with endangering the welfare of a child, corruption of minors, and other crimes. Miss Van Poole is the second person charged in the case. In May, Kathleen Wagoner, also of Denora, was arrested on child endangerment and corruption charges. Miss Wagoner, a bartender, gave Miss Van Poole the money to pay for his time with at least two prostitutes, police said. Miss Van Poole is charged with actually taking the boy to the prostitutes. Both women have pleaded not guilty. So I would hope they'd plead not guilty. They're not guilty of anything but giving pure joy to a young man.
So they're letting a 12-year-old have sex with prostitutes, essentially.
Yeah. But you know what?
Stop.
Being from Pittsburgh, I can't ever say that I've seen a good-looking prostitute around there. There is some scary-looking skanks down on Liberty Avenue. near the bus station. So I don't know where these women were going.
Stop!
Oh. Supersize what? The Big Mac turns 40. Normally a 40-year-old sandwich would be something to be avoided unless you're one of millions who flock to Mickey D's each year to chow down on a Big Mac. The triple-decker burger... Could they really call it a triple-decker? It only has two quarter-pound patties on it.
Is that one ominous piece of bread in the middle?
Yeah, there's one ominous piece of bread.
They had to invent it specially just for the Big Mac.
Yeah, but it's turning 40, and quite frankly, I still... You know, it's like you do have a Big Mac attack sometimes. You know, they're not the greatest burgers, but sometimes you just feel like, you know, two all-beef patties.
I
got
to admit something to you guys today. I was preparing for the show. I didn't have time to make something to eat. I ate a Big Mac.
Did you really?
Yep.
Was this your first fast food? And
it was dry, and it wasn't that great.
It's always dry. It's
millions
I've never
of people disagree
a fresh
with you.
Big Mac.
What you need is that McDLT or whatever, where it's cold on one side, hot on the other.
Yeah, that didn't last long. You
it
know
was
what's
too hard
good, though,
to
today?
Keep the cold side cold.
Yeah, today I stopped at McDonald's and I had one of their new Angus, third-pound Angus burgers.
Medic.
The Angus Deluxe.
Yeah. And it's pretty good.
Have you guys seen that commercial? What is it, the Jack in the Box? Yeah. I guess you don't have Jack in the Box where you live, do you, Bill?
No, but I've seen the commercial.
Where it's basically implying that Angus means anus burgers?
Yeah, yeah.
Where is the Angus at? Well,
on your knees.
That's always irritated me because it's like, it's a type of cow.
Yeah, I know. People are so stupid. It's kind of like people automatically think, oh, Angus cow, that must be the best. Kind of like they say Bose speakers.
So, stereo, you know, is unnatural.
I'm sorry, unless that true Wagyu Kobe beef from Japan, it ain't that special.
You know what? I'm going to say that Herbie Hancock might disagree with you, Bill.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Oh, yeah. Steven, break out the cardboard.
Rock.
Zip on my parachute pants real fast.
Not confused.
Which zipper? There's like 10 of them.
I need to put my shirt on that changes colors with heat.
It's like a mood outfit.
Put on the old British flag shirt.
Nice.
People out in California might want to avoid Jamba Juice. About 4,000 customers could be at risk after a worker at Jamba Juice in San Jose developed hepatitis A.
Jesus!
Yeah. During the time she was infectious, she was also working at Jamba Juice, so we're concerned that even though there is a corporate policy of good hand washing, you can't be 100% sure.
I'm not going to eat out in public anymore.
Yeah, you know what? A couple years ago in Pittsburgh, somebody had hepatitis A and got it all over some lettuce at a Mexican restaurant, or a chain of Mexican restaurants, and I think like 20 people died, and the Mexican restaurant chain went out of business.
Hepe is the worst?
Yeah, Hepe is the worst.
I love that fast food place. Hepe's!
Yeah, Hepe's. Come get a burger and die later.
Oh, yeah, hey, Steven.
Hey,
I don't think there's any cure for Hepe. I think it just eats away at your system until you die. It
just kills your liver.
I can't wait to eat after the show.
Book your plane tickets home.
This is kind of ridiculous. In fact, it's maddening to me. Oh. Some of the cheese factory workers who won a $208 million Powerball jackpot have won again. This time $10,000. 7 of the 100 people who won last August matched 4 of the 5 regular numbers plus the Powerball in the July 11th Powerball jackpot and won $10,000. 15 people, 9 men, 6 women, 1 in all. They turned in the ticket July 27th. You know, this is ridiculous. There's something like if you win $208 million,
do you need to keep playing?
Yeah, I mean, is it really fair that they get another 10 grand on top of that?
I'm afraid something inside me died.
That's like a sucker kick to the balls for us people.
How'd you like to be the friend of this person? Like, hey, you'll never guess what just happened.
We get the jackpot again.
You know, it reminds me of that that movie, Defending Your Life, whenever they show that
sucks. Where
Albert Brooks laughs at his friend for investing in Casio.
Right.
And then years later, the guy's a multimillionaire from it. And it's just, I would hate if I worked in that place and these people won and they were still working. I wouldn't want to see them.
What if you were working alongside them and you were the one who passed on putting money in on those tickets?
That's what I'm saying.
Wouldn't that just suck?
That would suck so hard. You have no idea.
The Rondu has a story much like that. When we were kids, the Ron, who's called in the show many times, he collected baseball cards. And he was like, why don't you get some baseball cards? And I was like, I don't really have any. He goes, start your collection now. He bought me a pack. I open it. It's a scratch-off game. I win a ColecoVision.
Dude.
And he still will not let that go. He still talks about it. He's like, how are you enjoying my ColecoVision, bitch? I was like, dude, we're 35 years old.
So it's 25 years later, and you're still giving it.
I don't even have the thing anymore. It broke. It broke.
But you know what? ColecoVisions were pretty badass.
It was awesome at the time because I was saving up for it, Bill. I had like $3 saved. I'm going to get a ColecoVision one day.
I didn't want to spend it on baseball cards because I was saving for a ColecoVision.
And it came with Donkey Kong, and I got the thing. I won it. And I played Donkey Kong. Keep in mind, this isn't the same arcade hard as hell Donkey Kong. This was like an easy Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
And in no way the same ergonomics or anything with the controller. So no matter how good you were at Coleco, it wasn't the same. It's a different game.
That horrible rectangle with the joystick, the two buttons on the side, and the number pad.
And that game was so frustrating. I remember my dad would have to come over and goes, you need to take a break. You're getting really tense.
Yeah.
Because I would slam the controller down.
You got notch in your shoulder from Donkey Kong.
You know what Coleco game drove me crazy? Smurfs.
Oh, yeah.
Smurfs game.
A friggin' blade of grass will kill me?
Yeah.
What?
And
who designed this game?
You would try to jump over the fence at the beginning of it. And if you didn't jump at the precise, exact, perfect time, you would die.
How are Smurfs surviving in the world if they can die like that from a blade of grass or whatever?
That's why you don't see them now.
They all died out.
They're all extinct.
Natural selection. Gargamel had nothing to worry about.
I think Gargamel's dead, too.
How the hell did we get on the Smurf conversation?
ColecoVision.
Ah, yes.
Great. I think it was so much better than Atari. The graphics were just, you know, it made Atari look like crap.
It was like, I swear, at that time it was like,
but then again, Atari was more affordable for the masses.
Coleco stepper from Atari is like high definition now to standard def. I shit you not, Steven.
I remember whenever I had an Atari. I had the old 2600 with the wood grain and all crap. And
don't start crying on me.
My friend down the street had a ColecoVision. And when he would have a game that, like, they would do, like, dual format releases, like, you would get Donkey Kong on the Atari and Donkey Kong on the ColecoVision. And it was like night and day. It was like playing the Atari was like you were blind, and playing the Coleco was like you miraculously were healed and you can see everything.
Right.
But the Atari did have the better controller.
Yeah, right now we're pissing the Rondu off because I know he's listening. He's like, I could have had it!
But you could use the Atari controller with the Coleco. You just couldn't use the number pad.
Right.
And then remember they released that add-on that you could put on top of the Coleco.
Do you remember the Atom computer?
Oh, my God.
That piece of shit.
that was up there with the Commodore 64, which took literally the Commodore 64. When you put a 5.25-inch floppy in that drive to play Ghostbusters, it took 40 minutes for the freaking game to load.
My friend
had this thing, and we would put it into play, and we would literally have to get up and watch TV for an hour before the game was ready to play.
That was like the first Blu-ray boot-up time, wasn't it?
I guess, yeah.
So, Bill, no, what else we got in the news? I mean, man, we went way off subject there. But, hey, we're filling time here, right? Are you guys loving it? I got nothing.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get back to the news. Some idiot in Jerusalem stole a pair of Crocs, you know, those, like, leather shoes that kind of have, like, a plastic lining on the outside.
Red boners go to die.
She stole them, and then she returned to the same frigging store a few hours later to say she wanted to exchange them because they didn't fit her son. So she gets away with it. They recognize her whenever she gets back, and then they immediately call the police and arrest her. Whoa. Are you a freaking idiot? What is wrong with people? I'm going to steal these shoes. You get away with it, and then you go back. Why didn't you steal something else? Why did you steal those shoes?
Yippee.
Steal something you're going to use, deep-voiced Anakin.
Is it one of those things where it's the thrill?
Well, it sounds like she was stealing for her son. She just doesn't know her son's shoe size.
You got to do your homework before you decide to steal something, hey, right?
She probably just made it up.
Maybe they were for her.
God, no,
the
six,
the all son, right, that looked like a 9, but it was a 6, or 6 was like 9.
Might have been like Shia LaBeouf. One
big foot.
You're putting way too much thought into it.
I know.
Let's finish up the story here with something interesting out of China. Not content with banning vulgar reality TV shows, China's culture guardians have added transsexuals and plastic surgery patients. Budgeting hit list of prescribed content on the country's airwaves. China's broadcasting watchdog, the State Administration of Radio, Film, and Television, or SARF, has outlawed shows featuring public participation in sex change operations and plastic surgery.
It's nice, guy. Let's do it.
The orders following the axing of controversial Beautiful Makeover, a reality show produced by TV station in China's southern province of Guangdong.
I love that place.
Yeah, I know.
I love this town!
It showed scenes of plastic surgery operations. China's broadcast watchdog has moved to crack down on the country's increasingly freewheeling TV broadcasters, urging them to imbue socialist values in their programming instead of using vulgarity and weirdness in the pursuit of ratings. Okay. So, yeah.
You know, my favorite show like that is when they wake people up with cannons. They're in bed sleeping, and then they have the cannon, and they light it right next to them, and it wakes them up. Have you ever seen that?
No.
They're like, oh, they're sleeping. And then, and everyone laughs because the guy's having a freaking heart attack.
You know what? I'll give you one guess. What's American Idol in China called?
Chinese statue.
A direct interpretation is Happy Boy's Voice.
What?
Yeah. Happy Boy's Voice. Oh, man, I got to get home and watch Happy Boy's, Happy Boy's Voice and vote off that guy that looks like Sideshow Bob.
Oh, Billy.
All right, that's news for this week. Let's hit the DVDs, shall we?
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the news this week. How about some DVDs?
I think we should.
Let's do it.
DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, it's in the definition! DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah, baby! What I love is the DVDs! Wow. Exactly. Let's do some DVDs, Bill.
Stop!
What do we got in the DVDs this week?
Let's see here. Capitalizing on the remake of 310 to Yuma, the original with Glenn Ford is being released on DVD.
And anybody here seen it?
I saw it a long time ago, but I can't say that I really remember it. It's an old film. I think it's from the mid to late 50s, if I'm correct. I'm not really sure.
The new film looks pretty kick-ass, I must say.
Yeah, it does. Who's the director of it? Somebody.
Is that James Mangold?
Did I have that right?
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right.
What we need is a someone on IMDb in our forum or in our chat room at all times, so we confer to them. They could check for us, and we're good to go.
I don't think there's anybody left in the chat room.
They're like, my God, how long is this show? I gotta go get something to eat or something.
Yeah, I think they all died.
No, no, no. Do or do not. There is no trust.
Not the shit all.
Huh?
Next DVD is for Steven, because I can just see Steven buying this. It's Air Guitar Nation, the documentary that came out last year.
Oh,
about
hell
the,
yeah.
The U.S. Air
that
Guitar
make sense.
Championships.
I've actually seen some of them.
That can't be as bad as the Rock, Paper, Scissors championships they have.
You know what? I couldn't watch this. There's all these things that says, like, funny as hell and all that. This is Spinal Tap. I couldn't watch it. I would feel uncomfortable for these people. I can't.
Those guys in October Road need to do that next season.
I've seen one. I've seen a contest. I can't remember if it was, like, where it was on, but it was on some TV show. And you're right. It's so ridiculous. I mean, and they're getting into it, jumping around.
You so know, sad. I don't know if you guys, but that movie, American movie, that documentary.
Oh, yeah, we've seen it.
That, well, yeah.
I freaking love that.
You know, the movie, I like it too, because when I was a youngster, I would shoot horror movies with my friends. Like, I think I've told you guys about the Attack of the Killer Carrots. That was epic. But there's just something horribly uncomfortable
you too, Bill.
About it. Yeah, you know what? I don't even think it even exists anymore. I would love if I could find a copy. Next time I go back home, I'll have to dig through the closet. But I can't watch that stuff because although I find it humorous, it makes me really uncomfortable.
Really?
Like, I feel bad for the people.
I think there was a girl that was like the champion air guitarist.
What do you mean you feel uncomfortable?
It just makes me feel uncomfortable. Like I shouldn't be watching it. Like it makes me pity them, I guess, in a way. I can't laugh at it because I feel bad.
You feel sorry for
them.
It's kind of like William Hung. She bangs. It's like that poor
little
dude.
Well, no, that's
dude.
Just
he's
plain funny
exploited.
Because he's. No, he's funny because he's just retarded.
Now watching an hour
better.
Of that, then you start to pity
dirtier.
It.
Yeah. But yeah, I just really can't explain it. I probably couldn't watch it because it just makes me uncomfortable. About the
interesting.
Only thing I can
We're
going
to get more into this later.
Air Guitar Nation. I'm buying it.
Some psychoanalyzation.
Oh, I got a chill up my spine.
Next DVD is something that I think I might have to rent, and that's Blades of Glory with Will Ferrell and Napoleon Dynamite.
Hit or miss, man. I haven't seen it, but I don't know.
It's got some really good people in it.
I know. Some of the reviews I said no, not a single laugh in the whole friggin' flick. I might wait for HBO for that one.
I couldn't say that because there's been a couple commercials lately that have actually made me laugh.
Uh-huh.
Like the things that Will Ferrell says. Like there's one where the guy goes, "Are you drunk?" And he goes, "No, but this one should do it." And he cracks open a new beer. That just made me giggle. So I'm definitely gonna throw the HD DVD on my.
You know, I still
Netflix
haven't seen video. Talladega Nights, but I've seen bits of it, and there was one part that did make me laugh, and it's when Will Ferrell's talking to the Ollie G guy. What's his name? Sacha Baron Cohen.
Sacha Baron Cohen. Yeah,
and he's like, they're talking about the race, good versus evil, and he goes, "It's like the Highlander," and he goes, "The Highlander," and he goes. Oh, it's a great movie. It won the Academy Award. And later on, he goes, "I watched The Highlander. It was a piece of shit."
You know what? I've always meant to watch that, but it was one of the first Blu-ray releases, and it has a horrible picture to it.
Well, they
so
had
I've
to rush it out,
bothered.
They had to beat the HD DVD to the punch.
Yeah, from what I understand, the picture is actually worse on Blu-ray than it is for the standard DVD. It's like all the grain of the transfer came out. It's unwatchable.
Wow, that is pretty bad, isn't it?
Yeah, I've seen Talladega Nights. And it's that hit and miss, like you said.
Sometimes you laugh.
Yeah, it's like there's too many stretches between that's supposed to be funny.
You throw a Highlander joke. Highlander joke in there, cracks me up.
That was funny.
I love the help me baby Jesus, help me Tom Cruise thing. That cracked me up. Just for anybody, you know, help, asking for help from Tom Cruise is funny.
We're suckers for Tom Cruise jokes, though, wouldn't you say?
Much love.
But we're just Scientologists.
Next DVD is Bob Saget, That Ain't Right, his HBO comedy special that I believe premiered tonight on HBO and is getting an immediate DVD release.
Oh, hell, I got to jump off the show, man. I got to check that shit out.
Yeah, I think I'll pass.
Marijuana is not a drug.
What's going to crack me up is all
I used to suck dick for coke.
All the people who watch this thinking they're going to get the cutesy Bob Saget from...
Oh, please, Steven, that is so long ago. I don't think anybody is.
I don't think anyone would want that.
Stop.
There's people out there who were totally
America's
out of
funniest
it.
Home videos when he was the host with his incessant little... You know, his little talking and crap over everything. It was so bad. He abused so many people phonetically. That's what you would say.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Next DVD is...
Stop.
Is Danger Mouse, the complete series, which I watched religiously as a kid on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, with Penfold, the mouse.
Yeah, what I loved about...
Penfold a mouse?
Yeah. What I loved about Danger Mouse was in between episodes, they would show a short called Banana Man, about a kid that would eat a banana and turn into a superhero. And every episode was exactly the same. He had to put the same criminals back in the same jail. It was just...
Oh, I'm having a happy day.
It was the dumbest thing ever, but for some reason I absolutely love Banana Man. So if anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about, go on YouTube and look up Banana Man.
I'll check it out. I gotta see this. I gotta make sure Bill's not making this up.
No, I'm not. I love Banana Man for some reason. It was so dumb. Also on DVD, for people that do not have a high def but loved Friday Night Lights, they are releasing Friday Night Lights, the first season, on DVD. And get this, all 22 episodes, $21.
The best show on television last season. I don't know if the new show, Life, with the guy from Band of Brothers, is going to be the new one, but Friday Night Lights, best show on television last season.
You know what? Kayville.
Sorry, Bill.
I'm just going to have to buy this, even though I'll buy it when it's on HD. I have to buy it because it's $21, or $22. It's $1 an episode, and I want to give this show my support. I want this thing to sell huge so that... You know, they know that the fans are out there and supporting this show.
Right. Radio Dan, I hope you watched Friday Night Lights. Best show on television.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about it so much last season, how it had so many things against it. Like, I don't want to watch a teeny bopper show. I don't want to watch a show about football. It has nothing to do with it. Watch the first three episodes. You will be hooked. Best show on television.
I mean, those are little portions of it.
Right.
But the overall scheme is totally...
Just incredible. Incredible cast.
His life story is all it is.
They got completely dissed at the Emmys, and they should all go to hell.
Yeah. Well, the writing, the acting, the direction, it's all just so perfect. Rarely does a show come together this well.
Emmy-worthy.
Exactly.
They're beyond Emmy-worthy.
Is there going to be...
the Emmys.
By the way, Bill, are there going to be like commentaries and stuff like that?
You know what? I think it's pretty bare. I don't think... No, there are no commentaries on it.
Yikes.
It's just deleted scenes and behind the lights, the creating of the first season of the show. I think that NBC was very wary of releasing a super big special edition.
I really think that if they... Why would they have commentaries? I want to hear what The Smash has to say. You know,
the
coach.
One thing you do get, of course, is the Dolby Digital 5.1 that, you know, you get when you watch the show in high def. So.
I want the buddy commentary.
The buddy.
Thank you, Lord, for letting Buckley win. I know that it was nothing short of a miracle, and I thank you for that miracle.
I know you truly are an all-powerful God to let such a crap team win.
I know I've sinned, but I have to ask for one more thing. And I know that you know what it is before I ask for it. The playoffs. State. If it's your will, let us win state, dear God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I love it.
That is so wrong. Is that Amber from Big Brother?
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, man. And continuing the NBC features, we have Heroes Season 1 on DVD and HD DVD. And,
Help me, Jesus!
That's all we're going to say about that.
No, next. Bill.
Someone flies. Someone dies. Save the cheerleader. Save the world.
Oh, you know, isn't that embarrassing now when you think back on that?
If anybody buys this, I'll come to your house personally and shit on it.
Jesus! That would be a bad tagline to sell something, wouldn't it? I'm not buying that.
I'll make a personal appearance where I just drop a gigantic...
He will come to your house and dump,
now,
put a big
now,
dump
Bill,
on it.
Now, Bill, I know that you love this show, though. I know you loved it.
I love it so much, I want to crap on it.
But seriously, when did it lose you, though?
I would have to say close to halfway through. Like, right after the, they decided to go to, HRG's house and try to figure out what's going on.
That was one of the best episodes when it
well,
was
right after
right
that.
After that.
Yeah, right after that, they just kind of didn't know what to do. When they started pulling all the heroes together.
Right.
It just, it fell apart.
Yeah, we talked about that last night about the writers painted themselves into a corner they couldn't get out of. That's why we had the very weak finale.
Next DVD is Kicking It Old School with Jamie Kennedy.
Wow.
Crickets.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's 1986 when when greed is good, leg warmers are great, and break dancing is the greatest. Yeah, I think I might see this just for the fact that Michael Rosenbaum is in it. And I have to see what he's doing in it. What is he fighting in like a crypt with fog, or is that something else?
Oh, he's in something else, and he's got hair now. You know, and I can't remember. Was it?
And
this,
he looks
totally
weird.
Yeah, curly brown like, hair or something.
Yeah, he shouldn't have hair.
Michael Rosenbaum. Yeah, I mean, I'm used to seeing him as Lex.
Yeah.
Do you think, wait, can I say something about Michael Rosenbaum? Do you think
do.
That, is he damned to ever grow his hair again? I mean, no matter what, we're used to seeing him bald, so he's always going to look like a weird-looking dude.
I can't say that
damn it.
He can never grow it back, but he looks much better, you know, bald and shaven.
Looks like you're working out some issues there.
The curly toupee that Lex Luthor wore in the Superman movie?
That's what he looks with
his
hair.
That's what his hair
yeah.
looks
like. Mr. Luthor!
Steven
open your eyes,
right.
You basic son of a
it's this really bad curly hair that looks like a toupee.
I don't think I've ever seen the dude with hair. What movies has he been in and stuff?
It's
maybe
just something that they're starting
him.
To advertise now on TV.
Well, I know he was in that one horrible movie where they all acted. It was like a bosom buddies kind of thing.
Yeah,
where they
that was,
all dressed up like women.
Sorority
and
boys.
Yeah, sorority boys.
What the hell? Fire your agent, dude.
Yeah, I think you know, being so separated from
gosh.
From society in Vancouver,
suck?
It just you do really horrible movies and shows.
It looks like the Doppler radar.
Nice. Really good. Okay, next DVD is... this is a classic. And I'm kind of glad it's coming out because I want it. Ski School.
Is that like Hot Dog the movie?
No, this is Ski School from the early 90s. I think it came out in like 90. But it's not this is like whenever that whole thing was going on, late 80s, early 90s. It was all about like vulgar comedies with naked chicks in bikinis skiing.
Right.
Hot dogs and slamming.
And it was the like the geeks versus the jocks, but the jocks were the ski patrol, and the geeks were like some.
Isn't that a movie, Ski Patrol?
Yeah,
yeah, it
They're
is.
All just get laid comedies.
Yeah.
God, what happened with all these movies?
She's and got a great rack.
They would always have like a musical interlude in the middle of it, where they'd all be dancing and singing on the slopes. They were so predictable, yet just so. I just couldn't believe that that was the thing in the 90s.
Or the 80s?
Or the 80s.
I think it died in the 90s.
Yeah, it started in the mid, late 80s.
But now you have stuff like Superbad, which is actually funny.
An homage.
Because those films are horrible. They're not funny. And then you have this, which is.
An homage
hilarious.
To those, but are funny.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know what happened is these guys. All our age grew up with, you know, like The Last American Virgin and Porky's and
Bikini Car Wash.
I actually think The Last American Virgin is a very watchable movie, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that, you know, we haven't had a decent, you know, adult teenage movie since The Last American Virgin.
Hello?
Porky's, movies like that. So I'm really happy to see, like, the return to form.
And I can't wait. There's this new movie that those guys are doing, all the Judd Apatow guys, Seth Rogen, called The Pineapple Express. That everything I've read about says it's hilarious. It's more like it's like an action movie, but still they're hilarious hijinks, for lack of a better term.
Is it kind of like their
Silver Streak,
Hot Fuzz? Hot Fuzz.
I think it's more. More of them on the run kind of thing. Maybe
Cannonball Run-ish?
No. Them on a train. I don't have no idea what it's about, so I'm just making shit up.
Okay.
So we're guessing at what he doesn't know.
Yes.
Yeah. Did I happen to mention the Masters of Horror box set, or did I skip over that?
No, you didn't, Bill. With Takashi Mike?
Yeah. Yes. This is really interesting to me. The Masters of Horror Season 1 box set, it's a crypt. And it has, like, the engraved stones on it of, like, all the directors that participated in it. And that's Dario Argento, John Carpenter, Larry Cohen, Joe Dante, Stuart Gordon.
What in the is that?
Joe Dante released some great films back in the 80s, but what happened to him? He just makes TV stuff now?
Yeah, I think he's animation stuff.
Oh, I gotcha.
And didn't he do that horrible Looney Tunes movie with Steve Martin and Jenna Elfman and...
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, I think he actually did direct that.
It wasn't funny.
That wasn't funny.
No,
but, you know, there were some really good ones of these Masters of Horrors, but there were some really bad ones, so I wouldn't...
I tried to watch one zombie one that might have been the first season. I was like, cool, zombies, like military thing. It sucked.
Yeah, that was the that was really bad. That I think that was the John Landis.
Yeah,
one.
John Landis.
Right. Yeah,
that guy was a god back in the day.
Well, yeah,
friggin' Blues Brothers, Kentucky
Downhill
Fried Movie.
After...
Don't say it, Steven.
I'm not going to say.
Don't say anything about. Do you know where we're going with this, Bill?
No, I don't. That's so wrong.
Jesus.
That poor man and children.
What was that, Foggy? What the hell's going on? I guess couldn't find it.
What always shocked me was they actually kept that shot in the film.
Yeah, that was just weird, man. Take two.
There was no take two.
A rescue helicopter has crashed.
Genius. Poor Vic Morrow. He gave his life to Twilight Zone movie. And what's in that piece that he was in is so depressing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, who wants to flash back to Vietnam and all that? I mean, that was weird. That was a little much.
Yeah.
It wasn't any better, though, than the one with the kid.
What was the last thing John Landis directed? Was it Beverly Hills Cop 3? Like a total, like, charity offer?
Oh, my God. You almost made me spit out my nose.
The best thing about Beverly Hills Cop 3 is friggin' George Lucas has a cameo in it.
Yeah, and you know what? It's the best part is Eddie Murphy jumping from the wheel thing, the little umbrella.
yeah, the teacup things or no, the tilt-a-whirl.
No, they're going. It's going over.
Oh, I got you. The sky lift.
Yeah. He's jumping from each one over and over again, and it's obviously a matte background. It's so.
They
so
didn't have time.
Done.
But as long as they brought back Sarge. The best thing about it, honestly, is George Lucas being in the movie for no apparent reason.
That movie is so bad. Matapa. But at least, how can you say that the movie was actually worse than the second one? And the second one was bad.
No, that was Tony Scott, Bill. It's a masterpiece.
And that that horrible Glenn Frey song they did for it.
The heat is on.
That wasn't Glenn. That was Glenn Frey. The second one was Bob Seger.
Oh, you busted.
Shake down.
The best thing about that song that it was ever made was that Little Richard sang it at the Oscars. And he's like, you busted. Genius. That's got to be on YouTube. I love the Little Richard.
Love you some Little Richard.
Your beauty is still on duty, and don't you ever forget it.
Nice. Next DVD is kind of a classic from the early 80s, Teachers, with Nick Nolte, Jo Beth Williams, Judd Hirsch.
Teachers, will you teach me? Crispin Glover is in this film.
Isn't Ralph Macchio in that, too?
I remember when I saw that film, the ads for it on TV made, oh, that movie's going to be awesome. That looks hilarious. And you go to see the movie, it is this boring, depressing piece of shit.
Yeah.
And at the very end, fucking Chris McGlover gets blown away trying to get a gun out of his locker. Huh?
Yeah, that was one of those movies that just kind of made you go, why did I just watch that?
I mean, seriously, what? I don't get it, man. But that 38 special song, oh, hell yeah.
38 special.
Hang on loosely?
Teach us. Didn't they sing that? Will you teach me?
Yeah.
Come on, Steven. That was your era when that came out. How old were you when that came out? Teachers.
What year?
Jo Beth Williams' topless scene in that, by the
84.
way.
84.
Yeah, she should have kept her top on.
14
I mean, who knows?
Old?
Oh, man. Jo Beth Williams, she whips out her boobs.
No, come it's on. Like, didn't you watch Poltergeist and go, I wonder
what she looks like topless.
Yeah. As her hair turned gray in the pool or whatever.
Yeah. And, no.
No.
Last DVD is Year of the Dog, the Mike White film written and directed by him with Molly Shannon and Peter Sarsgaard, which I actually saw last year, and I enjoyed it, even though I can't stand Molly Shannon.
What is it called?
Year of the Dog.
Okay, go over what it's about. Maybe I've heard of it.
It's about a chick who is living alone with her dog. Pencil was his name. And
hey, you, get your damn hands off her.
Right.
Yeah, so she goes around trying to meet people and falls in love with another guy who has it.
Never heard of it.
It's a really charming movie. It's Mike White. It's quirky.
Is it quirky? Yes. Quirky. Sold. As long as it's got the quirk, I'm gonna rent it. Yeah. Netflix. By the way, I've had the movie Shooter in my possession from Netflix for like 2 weeks now, and I can't get through the damn thing.
Yeah, I was the same way with Breach, which I had for 2 months.
Breach?
Yeah.
Man, does that look like a boring movie.
I just watched it, and it is horrible.
And I'm not even saying Shooter is a dull movie. It's got action and stuff, but with a three-year-old daughter, she didn't care about Mark Wahlberg. She'd rather see...
Marky Mark.
I sat in the theater and watched Breach.
Wow. Steven, there's no way you stayed awake in that. There is no way you stayed awake in that. Are you serious?
I'm serious.
It was so boring, and It's like it tried to develop the character so that you felt sympathy for this guy that basically completely gave up some of the most important information in our nation's history to the Russians, and he was just a tool. He was a
Couldn't he have gotten into some action for the movie's sake in real life so they could adapt it?
You know what the biggest action was? He takes the Ryan Phillippe character out to the woods to try to, like, interrogate him, and he shoots his gun around him, like, you know, tell me the truth! Tell me the truth! And it was like, what the hell is going on here? Did they just add this to wake people up before the movie was over?
He's hurting that grass!
Man, it lasted forever. That was just
The Good Shepherd, I'm telling you, I was is one of those movies where the whole thing, I was like, should I turn this off? Are you really going to keep watching this? It was that long.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. That's what there was nothing to do in the town I was in.
So it's like, there's nothing to do. I'm going to watch Breach. Yes, with Chris Cooper. Yep. I'm sorry, but Ryan Phillippe, whatever the hell his name
he's
is.
He's trying to get a movie career going again since he was so jealous of his wife or ex-wife.
But I'm telling you, when the guy's in a movie, I don't want to see it. I don't know what it is, but I don't want to see anything
that
dude is in.
He was actually believable in Breach, but it was just a bad movie. I mean, Chris Cooper is good in everything, but there was just nothing to work with here.
They needed some action, and they needed to cut down, you know, a lot of the old intrigue stuff, you know, could have been shortened up.
My favorite film with Ryan Phillippe was the one with Tim Robbins where he plays an evil Bill Gates.
Antitrust.
Antitrust.
Awesome! That is a good movie.
So, with Rachel Lee Cook.
Bad. Yes.
She was hot in that movie.
The cute little nerd girl.
Yeah. I give her some nerds.
But no, wasn't she a double agent? So
yes,
she
was
a fake
and
nerd.
I think she ended up dying.
Rachel Lee Cook wasn't the double agent.
Yes, she was.
No, his girlfriend was the double agent.
No, it was Rachel Lee Cook.
Didn't she play the girlfriend?
No. Rachel Lee Cook wasn't
Let's
the girlfriend.
Let's Netflix this puppy and watch it again. It was
guys,
that good.
No, we're arguing about antitrust.
No, what's
which
her,
had the same plot
Flaunia.
As...
Claire Forlani was the...
Oh, okay.
Was
yeah,
the double
but,
agent.
The Rachel Lee Cook character was hired to keep an eye on him.
Right.
She was bad, too.
Okay.
And that's antitrust. And yeah,
somehow we regressed to antitrust.
So
my
bad.
Fault. I'm so sorry.
And that's DVDs for August 28, 2007.
Looks like a poltergeist.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week. It was awesome.
It was antitrust-tastic.
And I'm just sad antitrust isn't coming out this week like a special edition because I'm more, you know, pepped up to see that.
I'm waiting for the Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah.
Stop.
Hey, what studio is that? Is it HD DVD or Blu-ray?
It was MGM, so it would be Blu-ray.
Oh, boo!
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see.
All right, everybody. That was our first ever live show of Nowhere in Mulberry, and it happened to be episode 90. Awesome. What do you think, Steven? Can you do this marathon again? Because also, we were filling in for the live test show, so... Actually, we did two shows, wouldn't you say? We did two shows, we filled in, but we also did our show, so what am I even talking about?
I have no idea, but it's intriguing, nonetheless.
Yes, and I would like to thank everyone who was in the chat room tonight, nimchat.com. Also, if you'd like to call and leave us a voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491. Also, go to nowhereinmulberry.com, and you could send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. But going back to nowhereinmulberry.com, you could find a link to our forum. And also links to Mulberry Old School, every single episode of the show we've ever done, including...
Brain hurting, too much information.
Too much information. I'm sorry, I'm just... NowhereMulberry.com, that's all you got to remember. Just go there and just look around and stuff.
Terrific.
Yes. And let's see, laptop desk. Don't have to worry about that anymore. Didn't win anything there. What else we got, Steven? I mean, it was awesome to do a live show with a little hiccup there, but it's no big deal.
A little hiccup? Good Lord.
What?
It kept dropping out on us.
It was no big deal.
It was a program that was trying to boot, and it kept booting us off, so.
Yeah.
They fixed it.
Yeah, no big thing.
I think it went pretty good.
Stop.
Exactly.
Probably lost most, if not all, of our audience, being that it's...
Yeah, they're like, enough of this crap.
It's 11:30 on the East Coast.
Hey, it doesn't matter, because you know why, Bill? Because we will be back next week, and we will get better every time we do it.
And you know what? I actually like doing this show it so late at night, and I'm actually awake at this point in the day.
And now you got your whole weekend ahead of you.
Yeah.
There's something about this is cool, though. When you think about it, like Friday nights, if we turn the show into an event that we do every Friday
Night Lights?
Yeah. We could watch it live on the... Oh, man, it's going to interfere with the show. Damn it.
It's not on Friday nights. It's on Wednesdays.
I thought it was coming out on Fridays.
They moved it Fridays at 10 p.m. now.
Well, you know what? We will work around it, okay?
I think, you know, one night we should just do the show overnight.
Just keep it going.
Awesome. Nobody would listen.
Maybe Radio Dan will let us do that. What do you think, Dan? Can we do that?
Slumber party again. Nowhere in Mulberry.
We're done.
A pajama jammy jam.
Yeah. Let's see how long that people stay in the chat room that night. Dude, I'm getting sleepy. You guys are just talking about antitrust for an hour. I got to go. You know,
I would love to have a discussion on the benefits or the, you know, what made antitrust great and what made it so horrible.
Don't start crying on me.
Well, Tim Robbins.
He knocked it out of the park in that flake. He was scary. He was frightening, if you will.
He was.
Wouldn't you say, Bill? I mean, seriously.
I would.
You know what? I remember a long time ago, we thought of doing commentaries to movies, like DVDs, and people could sync it up. But then Riff Track started doing that with Mike Nelson. And he even did the first film we ever wanted to do, which was Roadhouse.
Yeah.
How about we do that now, but it's antitrust?
You know what? We should.
He'll beat us to it now.
Box office poison.
No, you know what? At Riff Tracks, Mike Nelson, the guys from MST3K, they've been doing movies that aren't bad, which makes no sense. They did, like, The Bourne Identity.
And it's painful to hear them because they're not funny.
It wasn't funny at all. It was, like, so reaching. They did Casino Royale. What? Stop doing good movies. Do something like Into the Blue with Jessica Alba and Paul Walker or something.
Yeah, they just recently released Independence Day, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, that's back on track. Something that's cheesy and kind of sucks, but stop doing good films. They did The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, no one wants to sit for 3.5 hours and listen to those guys make fun of The Lord of the Rings.
I know.
Really?
I don't want to make fun of it for 3 hours.
I don't even want to watch it for 3 hours.
Exactly. But anyway, that's our thoughts for the day, wouldn't you say? And before we go, Steven, I just had to tell you.
You achieved beyond all of that. It's just been amazing. I mean, I have my eye on you. You were great, and I just want to just wish you well, and let's...
Oh, ooh, that was wet.
It was wet.
Jesus!
Stop!
All right, everybody, that's the show. Episode 90, Nowhere in Mulberry. Have a good one. See you next Friday.
Night, everyone.
Good night.
Yes, I need a nap.
Thank you for listening.
Yes. If you're still listening, thank you for listening. All right, Steven?
Indeed.
Hey, that's my word.
Don't start crying on me. You want a Kleenex?
I'm not crying.
Now this is podcasting.